This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you are listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Phillips.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Oh, hello. Hello, Liam's forehead.
Hello.
There you are. That's better, that's better. Oh, there he is.
There's sorry about that. I don't know what happened there.
Man, this is what I'm surprised because of the storm and stuff going on. Like, you know, how well the connection's going to hold and stuff. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see as we go along, man. We'll just have to see as we go along. But no, thanks very much for joining us because, you know, Will got taken away by the storm this week. So, he's in a tornado somewhere over Whitehaven Harbour at the moment, like, struggling to find a way home. No, he's fine. I'm sure he said he had some other meeting or something. I don't know what could be more important than the Blue Army Podcast, but obviously
he's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a very busy man, and we'll keep that mystique about him. That's all we'll say. I'll kick things off properly, lads. Alright, Marrows, how's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 143, and I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by two-thirds of the Cumbrian Brain Trust that I love to call Liam and Max. Thanks for joining us, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good to be back. I took a break, didn't I, last week?
That's it. You subbed in and out. You know, you and Will just, like, you know, trading off this week. But Max, ever the consistent mate, the hasta la quetta, alongside myself and the Blue Army Podcast. You know, you're there for
John Mellish.
That's it, mate. You're there for the season, the John Mellish. You're there for every game. You'll fill in every position. Your time is once again much appreciated, lads. Thanks very much for joining us. And we'll kick things off with a bit of tradition around here on the Blue Army Podcast. As we always do at the start of the show, we like to kick things off with a laugh and a bit of a joke. And that can mean it's only time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army Podcast. Joke of the week is... I think he's trying to... It's the Blue Army Podcast. Get in, lads. Here we go. Oh, Liam, you missed a corker last week, mate. It was a good one.
I did listen.
It was a good one.
This is along the similar tones, mate. What's the difference between Barrow and the Invisible Man?
No one notices that there.
I mean, that's a good one. That is a good one. But the one I've got, mate, the one I've got is there's more chance of seeing the Invisible Man at Wembley. It's a bit of mud.
Well, let's hope that is true because they're on the way.
Well, either flying, they are flying. You've got to give that to them. But
they
you've
could
also got
get
to
into Wembley this year, and that's the scary thing.
Yeah. It'd be horrible to do a yo-yo with them. It would be horrible. But I don't think they've got it in them. I really don't. So I think there's some point during the season they're going to crash and fall and crumble and fall away from that prestige, at least for this season. But lads, we'll move away from the joke of the week and we'll move away from more Barrow talk because this is the Blue Army Podcast. This is about Carlisle United. And as we always do after the joke of the week, we like to hear about what's been going on around us in the league. With the League One Roundup with Liam. Go on, lad. Kick it away. You're on your own this week.
I know. I've lost the wide head of wheels this week, but I've got a list of stuff this time. The first thing is, well, probably a big one, and one that Will kind of predicted last week, is that Reading have had a 3-point deduction, a suspended 3-point deduction. I'm not really sure that, so it won't go in straight away. It's if it keeps happening, then it'll happen. Pretty much is what I get from that. It looks like they're gonna get it, but it hasn't come into full force yet. Mm. Obviously, with it being January, there's been a lot of transfers, and it'd be a podcast being about 5 hours long. But some of the big ones. Ollie O'Neill has joined Leighton Orient from Fulham on a permanent deal for an undisclosed fee. And Talaji Bola has joined Burton on loan for the rest of the season from Rotherham. They were the two that caught my eye. But the big news this week comes in the form of two managerial decisions. One choosing to stick, one choosing to twist. And the first one of them is Shrewsbury have sacked their head coach, Matt Taylor, after they were dragged into the relegation battle fairly recently. And Northampton, a team who are in and around that area, have decided to stick with their manager and offered their new coach, John Brady, a new contract. So he'll be staying for the foreseeable by the looks of things. I think he was brought in on a sort of interim basis to start with, but he's been given a longer contract with them now. But yeah, look, and to be honest with you, from that, I think Northampton will do better in the long run, because I just think too many teams like Shrewsbury and like what Fleetwood have done this season sack their managers far too early. But Shrewsbury are the latest to do so, and Matt Taylor, who signed Morgan Feeney rather famously, he's going to have to play for a new coach now.
Well, I mean, it's good that they stick with managers. Like, we do it with Simo. It always proves to have fruit at the end of it eventually. You've just got to sort of like have a bit of a roller coaster sometimes with a manager. And it's what a lot of fans are going through with Paul Simpson right now. But yeah, stick with your manager. I'm a fan of that. What about you, Max? Stick with your manager or twist after how many games? How many games do you give someone to lose on the bounce before you just cut them off?
Well, it just depends, doesn't it? I mean, in the past, some of the recent managers we've had, I think there was kind of celebration when they left after maybe not that long. but yeah, if you get someone who the fans are happy with and who seems to care about the club, then it's nice to have that bit of longevity with a manager and go on that roller coaster, as you said.
Well, is that everything for us this week, Liam?
Yeah, that's about it. Like I said, there was a lot more transfers, but we went through every single one.
Well, it hands quite capably over to Max, but I have to say thank you very much, Liam, because we all got to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the League One Roundup with just Liam this week. But Max, yeah, it's time for you to kick off what's a bit of a new segment around here. There's been calls for Max's £1 million idea to come back, and I might prompt you for one a little bit later on. But no, you're doing Max's transfer rumour roundup. Go ahead, lad.
Yeah, so basically the Jake Young transfer saga continues since the last episode. Basically, Paul Simpson's come under fire from Bradford's manager for basically coming out and saying that the fee that Bradford are asking is too high and that Carlisle have been priced out of a deal. That's what the original comment that he said, I believe. He's since then come out and said that he didn't mean we couldn't afford him. We actually can afford him, but he doesn't believe that it's good business for the club. And he doesn't want to use the newfound wealth of Carlisle in a manner that would be that he would deem as irresponsible. Yeah. So it's a bit of a weird one there. People have been calling on the EFL to kind of punish him for saying that sort of thing, because some people have taken it as he's trying to unsettle the player and trying to maybe force things to happen. But I feel like it's a bit more unlikely now. Maybe last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was pretty confident he was going to come in, but it doesn't look that way anymore, unfortunately. But yeah, what do you two think? You might have heard some other different things than me. There's been a lot of stuff on Twitter. about it.
Do you not think it's just the club trying to steer away like bad press? Like, I think it's because so much is going wrong with Bradford at the minute that it's like, don't look at us, look at Paul Simpson over there, you know, trying to divert a bit of the fans' hatred towards a sort of familiar rival in Carlisle instead of focusing on the club. Because I think, to be honest with you, he's probably got a point, but it's just been blown way, way out of proportion. Like, you don't need to come out and say that. Just maybe say it's just been, it's such an overreaction, because we said the same thing pretty much all of the summer about Luke Armstrong and not a single thing was said about it. But yeah, I think it's just diversion tactics.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, I do think it would be pretty harsh for Paul Simpson to come in under any sort of punishment for saying what he said. He's that type of manager. He does sort of say what he thinks. We found that out this season. And I didn't have a problem with it, to be honest. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with it. I'd say there's about a 20 or 30% chance of it happening now. There is other options, other irons in the fire. Apparently, so another player another striker who have been linked with quite heavily recently is Jack Marriott, who is somewhat of a familiar face to Carlisle fans. I think he only played 4 games for us, and that was about 9 years ago, something 8 or 9 years ago. We don't know him that well, but
I put him in my squad still, even after 4 games. I love Jack Marriott, I'm a fan there, I like Jack Marriott.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that you could see happening. He's at Fleetwood Town at the minute. He scored 13 in 32 games for them. And he has been, he does score pretty consistently at clubs he's at. So, yeah, he'd be another good option. Obviously, proven League One striker. And, maybe a good a partnership with Armstrong could happen there. Who knows?
Yeah, I like the idea of that one, man. I like the idea of that one. Is there anything else on the items on the fire? Have you heard anything else?
So there's nothing else really that seems to have any truth behind it. Those are the two main ones. Marriott, I would say, is the more likely out of the two. But we'll have to see what the next week holds, because obviously there's only a week left.
I definitely like the idea of Marriott more than splashing the money on Young, who's going to be unproven at this level. And, you know, so I definitely like the idea of spending it on Marriott, someone who's more in the prime and definitely ready to sort of like dig a team out of a situation like this. Teaming up with someone like Armstrong, then you're just going to be smashing the league to pieces.
Yeah.
At least for the next season or two. That's a team that could push for the playoffs next year with them two up front, definitely, in my opinion. Anyway,
hopefully.
Thanks very much, Max, for covering the transfer rumours that have been circulating around Brunton Park. I'm going to move on to the Carlisle United-related news, and there's been more Hatayic impact being noticed around Brunton Park once again, as planning permission has gone into Carlisle County Council for improvements to be made to the Warwick Road end and the East End. It's going to be the East End. It's going to be focused more on the hospitality side of things. There's going to be more executive boxes being installed in the East Stand. And there's going to be like a more of a dining lounge as well. So I assume they're going to be installed in the kitchen and all kinds of other things. I couldn't really see the blueprints on my phone. It was really small picture, unfortunately.
Yeah, you have to kind of zoom in on it.
From what I read, at least, like, you know, it's positive steps. And from what they've said, you know, that they're looking to generate more revenue, because quite rightfully, they pointed out that they're pretty much sold out of all the hospitality spaces that they have for the remainder of the season. And obviously, you know, if they had more hospitality spaces, then therefore they'd be able to generate more revenue, which definitely makes you think that, you know, they're going to be taking more and every sort of like squeezing every opportunity that they can take to sort of like improve fan facilities around the stadium. And definitely, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But are they starting to dry up a couple of ideas? Because, you know, they haven't done Max's £1 million idea in a while. And, you know, it is very difficult for them to keep having ideas over there. I mean, like, you know, we're on the build-up. We're going back into regular football in February. So please start sending in your Max's £1 million ideas now. It's the time to do it. Just get them into to Max's Instagram and to Liam's Instagram and to my Instagram. We'll leave links like we do on every episode. But yeah, definitely start contributing something to Max's £1 million idea, because you can't talk about the Warwick Road toilets anymore because things are happening. So, you know, we've got to talk about other things now.
They are listening.
Yeah, you know, they are listening. They're definitely listening, you know. So take advantage of it and have a good brain rattle, because we're all going to as well, because we sneakily contribute some ideas every now and again to Max's £1 million idea under aliases. we'll move away. But if no, it's all
yeah,
good
you have news. To act surprised when I say them.
Yeah, you're quite graceful as well. You know, you're like, oh yeah, it's a good idea, wasn't it? Yeah. you play it off very well. Yeah, but like, we'll move on to a bit like proper news, I guess. After that, that was a bit of a piss take from me personally. There was some serious news involved, though. I need some serious journalism for you as well.
It is big news.
Exclusive news. What I've got for you. It was a plug for Max's £1 million idea. That's what it was. It was a shameless plug. But it is news. No, it is news. But we'll move on to an old famous segment of the show, which is Lone Watch, because there's been some exclusive news that I can bring you because of my sort of like inside roots at Carlisle City. I can exclusively reveal that Scott Simmons is on a trial at Carlisle United League One rivals Lincoln at the moment. And that's led to Carlisle City having to loan a couple of players from Carlisle United, and one of which is their youth goalkeeper, Jacob Barry, and also very promising striker, Romeo Park, has made his way over to what I still like to call Guildford Park. So, yeah, more reasons to get yourself down to a Carlisle City game whenever Carlisle United aren't in town, and you can't get enough tickets to get yourself down, or they're just too far down south for you. Get yourself down to a Carlisle City game. Cheer on Romeo Park and Jacob Barry. It's going to be great. And, yeah, there's some proper journalism for you. Take that. Exclusivity, you know.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. There's no one listening. It'll be fine. There's no one listening. Another loan news, Jaden Harris has made his way back to Brunton Park. It's unclear to see what the future is involved for him, but it's been spoken about that he's probably going to make his way out on loan again, but hopefully to a slightly higher level this time. And finally, in loan watch news, Sam Hetherington played for Workington, and I believe it was probably in front of you, Liam. You were there over the weekend at the Workington game. How did you think that Sam Hetherington got on?
I think he did well, to be honest. I didn't realise at the time he was on loan at Carlisle, but you know, I think he had a big part to play in certainly the first goal. But yeah, look, I think he looked really well. He was one of them players that you looked at and thought, you know, you're clearly from a higher level. Like, you could tell that he was like maybe on loan, because I think you know he was showing his class compared to some of the older guys there. Just say that, you know. But you know, he played well in a rather disappointing 2-2 draw in the end.
Yeah. But yeah, nice match reporting, man. Well done. But no, finally, obviously, the big news this week is the fact that Carlisle United's game against Cheltenham was called off, and it was said to have been due to a frozen pitch. Reports were conflicting the next day just because of the weather change. But, you know, it's one of those things. you know, the weather, it's unprecedented. You can't necessarily predict it. So that game was called off. So we haven't got a match report to cover. And so we came up with something a little bit different, lads, and I'm going to introduce you to a very special, I'll call them a tag team, in just a few seconds after a couple of words from our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Norris. All right, so, you know, here we are. We're back in the Blue Army podcast. And you can tell I've been excited. I've been a bit giddy all day, to be honest, and especially during this podcast. I forgot to sing Liam Denwood's theme song because, you know, I've just been so excited to introduce the two men that are coming onto the podcast right now. They go by the street names of Darren and Gav, but, you know, they've got alter egos. They've got different names. People out there know that I'm associated with Target Wrestling. I do a bit of the commentary for them on the YouTube, and I've managed to wrangle a pair of wrestlers, a tag team, if you will, to join us for a footballing quiz, because obviously Carlisle United's game against Cheltenham was called off. So without further ado, please welcome Darren and Gav to the show. Welcome, 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 lads. I mean, I'll zero in first. You know, you're both wrestlers. You're both from Target Wrestling. But first, Darren, I believe you're a football coach, at least.
I am.
You must have some footballing knowledge.
I wouldn't go so far as to say footballing knowledge, but you know, the kids listen to me. I'm a coach for Warwick Wanderers under 12 girls team. Great bunch of girls, new this season. So, you know, we've found it hard, been quite a challenge, but you know what? It's good fun. It's rewarding. You know, they're a good bunch of girls, and it's rewarding to watch them grow and watch them love playing the game. Cause it's, you know, girls, women's football in general is just, you know, it's a popular thing, and as well, it should be.
Liam, you've done a bit of coaching with just sort of like your teaching degrees and stuff like that. You know, are you gonna dive in? Are you gonna get involved at any point? Are you looking to get involved?
Well, I'm qualified now for coaching, but hopefully, maybe one day.
It can't be easy, Darren. It can't be easy on the cold nights in January, though.
Not at all. You know, when the wind's blowing the opposite direction to where you're kicking the ball, it's terrible. Yeah. It's not great at all.
and Gav, obviously, you've been very patiently waiting, mate. I'll throw over to you, sir. I mean, you're a Newcastle fan. You've had a lot of ups and downs very recently with the takeover, but it gives us a hell of a lot to talk about. What do you feel like, you know, things are going at the moment? What do you want to see out of Newcastle in January?
I would like to keep all the players that we've got, to be honest. I don't think we need to sign anyone this month. It's August where we need to do our business, maybe sell some players in August when we've got more time to sign players.
There was talk of Trippier, wasn't there?
Yeah, Eddie Howe's gone. Trippier's gone, yeah.
Yeah, I'd stick with Eddie Howe for now. I don't think it's fair if he does get the top off this season due to the injuries that we've had, but also the added competitions with Champions League and stuff like that. I think when we've had a squad that's been fully fit, we've proved that we're a team that's up there. And it's just with the amount of injuries we've had, we've kind of struggled a little bit.
You mentioned injuries, Gav, and at the moment, you know, you can't wrestle because you yourself are injured. But, you know, let's lead into a little bit of Target talk. What's Roy's story all about? You know, why don't you tell us about your alter ego at Target? How would you describe Roy's story?
How would I describe it? Well, simple, really. His personification of greatness. It's as simple as that. Everything he does is just terrific, you know what I mean? And he seems to rub the iron of the crowd, and people don't seem to like him. But no win by any means necessary, which is why he's, you know, he's great.
And I mean, I've admitted that, you know, I loved you as a tag team when you were a tag team. I really did. I loved the chemistry that you had together then. But Darren, you're in action, obviously. You know, Gav's out at the moment, so you've span off into a bit of a solo. And you're in action this weekend, actually, in Whitehaven on the 27th. It's in the Civic Hall. There's a nice little plug for you. And you're going to be in action again in Carlisle on the 3rd of February. So those matches coming up. I mean, why don't you tell us about Damon Havoc? Why don't you tell us about his next opponent and what people might be looking forward to seeing?
So his next opponent that's been announced is obviously at Carlisle, which is next weekend. That's against Shreddy. Shreddy's a big guy from the Northeast.
Yeah, he's a huge guy.
So, you know, it'll be an entertaining match. I'm looking forward to it. He's good fun to work with. But I'm sure I'll have some good bumps and bruises following that match, and hopefully we'll come out with a win.
I believe in you, mate. I'll be there for you. Don't worry.
The belly of British short style. That's what it's all about. The belly.
The belly of British short style, and I absolutely love it as well. When you come to the ring, I slap my belly along with your music, just like you should. If everybody's there,
absolutely.
Stand up and
absolutely.
Slap your belly along.
Yeah,
to the belly of British
short
style.
Embrace the belly.
And once again, you know, you're going to be in action in Whitehaven on the 27th and in Carlisle on the 3rd. I'll leave a link in the description to this episode for anybody that's interested in picking up tickets or getting information on where the venue is and all that kind of stuff. But lads, you're here for a bit of business. You know, you're here to reform the old tag team. We've got a quiz going on because there wasn't a game against Cheltenham. Let's dive into the quiz. So it's Liam and Max from the Blue Army podcast representing the BAP. And Darren and Gav are representing, well, kind of Target Wrestling, but you know, you're independent. You know, you're independent. You know, nobody necessarily approached Target and said, "Can we, you know, can we poach these two?" But like, I'm sure it's all fine. So we're gonna do a football quiz, lads. There's 5 categories. There's Premier League. 5 questions. There's 5 questions on World Cups, and there's 5 questions on Carlisle United. And yes, in case you are interested, there is a tiebreaker at the end. But I mean, looking at Darren's face,
because you're gonna need that. Yeah,
a bit of professionalism, mate. I needed a bit of professionalism. I need to at least be prepared, because you never know. Like, these lads might fluke it as well. You know, what I've tried to do is make the questions as, like, you know, difficult but also kind of like guessable, if that's possible. I don't know. Yeah. We're gonna see how we get on. So, as the guests, Darren and Gav, I'm gonna let you make a decision. Would you like the questions that are in column A, or would you like the questions that are in column B?
Go on, Gav. You can choose.
Column A.
A. He's gone for A. Right. I'm going to flip it over. You're going for A. Right. We're ready to rock and roll. Yeah, I got all the questions in front of me right now. And also, as the guests, I'll let you guys go first. The way it's going to work, just so everybody knows, is that, you know, the guests are going to have 5 questions, and then the home team are going to have 5 questions as well. But they're going to be 5 different questions. They're going to be all based on the same categories. So there's no way that, like, people can say, well, I had that question written down and I had the answer written down. So there's no way we, you know... There's less way of cheating, basically, is the idea, trying to be behind it. But what I've tried to do is add an interesting dynamic to it, gentlemen. Basically, if the opposing team get a question wrong, I was going to allow the other team to have a guess at the question if they wanted to. And they could win a point, but they could also lose a point as well when they jump in. So just to make it a little bit more suspenseful, just to make it, you know, the scores a little bit more up and downy, we're going to really see how badly you can mess this up, I guess, Darren. Like, you're just sweating over there, mate. Like, you're just sweating.
I don't sweat, not this time of night.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So you guys have got columns.
He's playing it down so that we can come in with a perfect 15 once the questions get going.
You guys have gone for column
alternate
A.
Alternate reality. Different multiverse, maybe.
We're going to kick things off. It won't go that badly, I'm sure. We're going to kick things off with the guests. It's Darren and Gaz. We've got question number 1. Who has the most Premier League hat tricks?
You're better off with this one, Gav.
I've got one which I know used to. It's just whether or not he's still got it. I want to say it was broke fairly recently. I'm
not
going to go for this one. I'm going
to
go for the second name.
Who are you going with, sorry? You're going for Aguero. And you're correct, lads. You're on the board already with the first question.
I want to say Aguero.
It is Aguero. So there's 1 point there. I need another bit of paper or something to keep points and scores on. I wasn't quite that prepared, unfortunately. Right, okay. Yeah, you guys are there with 1 point on the board. Congratulations. And we'll go with question number 2. What club has the record for the most Premier League wins?
Does that mean titles or games?
I mean, it means, like, wins, games, yeah. Right. But it's still Darren and Gav. It's still Darren and Gav. These are their 5 questions.
I'm thinking Man United.
Thinking Man United. Are you happy to go with that, Darren? Or do you want to disagree?
Of, Over what sort of period? Just ever, in general?
Yeah,
has it just been the Premier League? Premier League era.
Premier League era. What team has the most wins in the Premier League?
I think you'd kind of have to say something like that, because many years ago, you probably wouldn't disagree with that. But is their last sort of like what five years or so? Has that been a big fall from grace? I don't know. I'm quite happy to go with that, Gav. I think it's a fair shout for their history.
Going with Manchester United. It's not the right answer, I'm afraid, lads. It's not the right answer. I'm really sorry. So we might... Would Liam and Max like to have a guess at this one?
Max, it's going to be Liverpool, isn't it? I think it's...
Yeah, I was going to say Man United or Liverpool. So I feel like, yeah, I think we should go with Liverpool there.
You're going to try and steal it with Liverpool? We'll steal. And you've got it, lads. You're on the board as well. It's 1-1.
Nice.
Bit of drama at the early stages in the game. Congratulations. We'll move on to question three for Darren and Gav. Who has the record for the fastest ever Premier League goal? That's the fastest ever Premier League goal. What's that?
I could physically picture the goal. I can't actually remember who scored it, though.
Game on.
Shane Long.
It is Shane Long. He's done it. He's done it, and they've retaken the lead. It's 2-1. Gav, I'm not sure. Like, if you're too far away from your microphone sometimes, or it might just be me. I'm not sure.
My phone's not the best at the minute.
Okay, don't worry. I thought we'd have like some troubles with the storm anyway. Don't worry. But yeah, here we go. We've got question number four now, lads. It's 2-1. Which club has the record total of points in a Premier League season?
Manchester City.
Darren, are you willing to go with that?
I think that's a fair shout. I'd probably go with that if I had to take a punt.
It's Manchester United. Oh, no, I told them without letting you guys guess. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. I'm not even used to the rules of my own quiz. Jeez, this is a shambles. This
is all right. I thought it was Man City as well. With the
same, to be honest.
Yeah. But Man United's the one I got off Google. When I Googled Premier League quiz questions and answers.
Right. Depends on when that page was published, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't ask Google for anything.
Yeah, you're right, probably. I hope I've got away with it, though, so far. We'll go to the last one. Let's move over that. What was the score in the highest scoring game in Premier League history?
The only ones I can think of are like 7-1, but I don't even think that. I wouldn't think that's anywhere close.
I think there's a 9-0,
but and some of it makes me think it was a Man U game.
Was it Man U Arsenal 8-2? So that'd be 10 goals in one game.
I don't know. I seem there's a little bit of my head that remembers a Man U game where they scored 9 goals.
But then with Manchester,
I'm not sure on this one, to be honest. Going with 9-0, are you?
I think 9-0.
It's not 9-0, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Liam.
That's good because you mentioned the right answer as well.
Yeah, it's 8-2, isn't it?
It's 8-2, yeah. It's the Man United Arsenal 8-2, yeah.
It's not, lads.
Oh.
It's 7-4. And it was Fulham versus Portsmouth.
Oh,
7-4. So you've actually lost a point, lads. So you're back on 0, I'm afraid. And Gav and Darren have actually got a 2-point lead as we hand over now to Liam and Max to try and redeem the Blue Army podcast with their round of questions. Now, this one's a little bit awkwardly phrased. So if you've got a question, ask your question. Because I asked it to my dad earlier and he was like, do you mean like this? And I was like, okay, fair enough. What player has the record for the longest goal from distance in the Premier League from open play?
Do you reckon it's David Beckham from the halfway line?
But surely there's been goalkeepers that have scored, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
It'll be like Begovic.
Is that, yeah, I think I've got that, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that then, Begovic.
It's not Begovic, I'm afraid. It's not Begovic. So, Darren and Gav, would you like to try and steal? You can always pass if you don't want to risk any points.
I'm not going to risk any points. I don't know if you know the answer, Darren.
The only one I can think of is the one that they mentioned. That is literally the only one I can think of.
Yeah, Evan Johnson was on either a goal kick or a free kick. So, yeah, not sure.
We're going to pass on that one. The correct answer was actually Xabi Alonso. It was a week after, 2 weeks after, or just 1 week after he scored that goal against Luton in the FA Cup. So it gets forgotten about like a lot. But no, he scored from I can't remember exactly how far. But yeah, Xabi Alonso with that
fair
one.
Fair enough.
No points gained, no points lost. We move on. Who has the record for the most Premier League appearances?
Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
Gareth Barry's correct, lads. Well done. You're back on the board. You've got one. It's 2-1. I'll let you move on to question number three. Who holds the Premier League record for the most goals scored by a substitute?
I thought, is it Solskjaer?
Might be Solskjaer. I was thinking Peter Crouch for some reason.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'll let you pick.
How much did Solskjaer actually play in the Premier League? Because was he not more earlier than that? Or was he?
Oh, that's a good point, actually. No, I don't think... No, because...
Yeah,
it was Premier League era, wasn't it? Because they won the treble, and that was the Premier League.
Yeah, we'll go with Solskjaer then.
We're going with Solskjaer. And you'd be correct, lads. Well done.
Oh, nice hand to Liam.
You've tied it up, and you've still got two questions to go. Which player has the most Premier League golden boots?
Harry Kane.
Yeah, good answer.
Harry Kane.
It's not Harry Kane, I'm afraid.
It's probably Shearer or something, isn't it?
Harry Kane.
might have given the answer there.
Oh, you're trying to trick them. We'll find out if they want to go for it. Darren, Gavin. You want to have a pop at this one?
You're bound to know this.
I'm trying to think how many Shearer and Aguero have, because I think it's between them two. I'm just trying to figure it out. Probably when Shearer was a striker, if you had Henry, you had Andy Cole, you had like strikers. But with Aguero being one, Man City's just been far better than everybody else. So he's bound to have won it a few times in a row. And stuff, Ken. I'm going to pass it just because we're equal on points. I don't want to risk losing it.
It's not Ian Wright, is it?
It is a thought provoker for you, Gav. What about the Henry era?
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, I'm not sure exactly how many she would have won because of the people like Henry and that. But I'm sure they won a couple. But then I know the likes of Henry and people like that have been on the same level winning stuff as well. Point as well, Shearer kept getting sidelined with an injury. He lost 3 years of his career in total because of a cumulative injury period. So, but I do think the answers between Shearer and Aguero, I'm just not sure whether I should go on, whether it's being on 2 points and then being on 2 points.
Darren wants to bet on Henry.
I probably would.
Go for it if you want, mate.
Yeah, you only live once, let's be honest. No harm, no foul.
Well, that's it, mate. And your bravery's been rewarded, lads. Well done. It was Thierry Henry that has won the most Premier League golden boots. And with that, you retake or reclaim the lead. One question left to go in the Premier League era. Who is the youngest player to ever play in the Premier League?
Oh, I can't remember his name. Mark, do you know who it is? I don't want to give too much
away. I was going to say
Oh, tactics Lewin. Are being deployed now. I don't want to give too much away.
And I'm just going to say it was more recent than that. I know it is.
Oh, right.
Know his name. It was 15. How old is this quiz, actually? Because it was very, very recent.
This one's definitely right. This one's definitely right.
Okay, yeah. It was 15. Fairly recent.
Who did he play for?
Arsenal.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know his name.
How many things have we got left? Have we got one more after this?
No,
this is the last.
This is the last Premier League one.
Oh God! Well, we'll have to just guess then.
I think it's quite a funny name as well. like a long unpronounceable name. Elijah Brown.
Nah. Doesn't sound that unpronounceable.
I was going to say Brown's not very unpronounceable.
Wow,
couldn't think of anything more creative.
You started okay, like Elijah, and then I think he just looked up at the ceiling or something. I don't know what happened next, but no, it's not Elijah Brown, unfortunately. No, but Darren, Gav, do you want to give this one a go? Are you going to try and steal this one?
Not a clue.
I don't have an idea. Still kid, so I'm
gonna
pass it as well. No idea.
Well, Liam, you've got an affiliation with the club that this young man actually played for when he became the youngest Premier League player of all time. It's Harvey Elliott, who plays for Liverpool.
Oh,
okay.
It was a couple of seasons ago. It was Harvey Elliott who plays for Liverpool. Things have left the Premier League side of the quiz, gentlemen, and it is free to Target and two to the Blue Army podcast. We're going to jump into the next category, which is World Cup football. And it's over to Darren and Gav once more. So I'll dive into their questions. Here we go, lads. It's World Cup. Everything's World Cup. No qualifiers. We're talking just tournament questions. What is the only nation to have won both the women and the men's World Cup?
I've got an answer. Darren, I'm thinking, you know, the last women's tournament that's just happened was the World Cup winner.
Yes.
Yeah, and Spain
confident
won it.
Women's football yes. coach
Spain's
said.
Spain's won the World Cup three times. It's got to be Spain, I think. Spain won it in, what year did Spain beat Netherlands? In the final.
2010.
2010.
Yeah. Fairly recently, yeah.
And then, I'll be honest with you, my knowledge on women's football is pure up over everything in like, recent years. So, unless like France have won it before Spain have this year, then I'm not sure. It's either France or Spain, I imagine. I just can't remember if Spain won the first of like France won it before Spain.
Go with your gut, Gav. Just go with Spain. Go with your gut.
Yeah, well, how many Women's World Cups have they actually been as well?
I think there's a few because it's been going since like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Right, in which case, because I know this was Spain's first ever Women's World Cup, I'm going to go with France.
Not France, I'm afraid.
Boys, I think you've balled it there. It's Spain, yeah.
It's Spain. I think it is.
Yeah, Spain have won the Women's World Cup and they won the men's one as well.
It's not Spain, it's probably Germany.
I think it's definitely Spain, yeah.
I was going to say, Spain have definitely won the women's, just won the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, and they've definitely won the men's.
And so. Assuming they've won the men's, then yes. They won it
2010, yeah.
It is Spain.
Oh, God.
So you stole a point, lads. You stole a point. Well done.
That feels
well done.
Like such a dirty point.
You won a point, though. You won a point. It's 3-3. We've tied things up. We're still in the World Cup round, and we're only on question number two. What country has the most World Cup wins?
Oh, no. I actually know the answer to that one. Well, it's Brazil, isn't it?
He's straight in there with Brazil, and you're right, mate, it is Brazil. Well done. You've reclaimed the lead. Congratulations, lads, as we dive into the next question. It's what country won the first World Cup?
Uruguay.
Yeah. Uruguay, are you saying, Gav? Very confident.
Yeah. I think he's on. I think he's onto something.
And you're correct, lads. Well done. It's another point on the board. You're on a hot streak. You're powering through these World Cup questions. And the next one is, what player has played the most World Cup minutes? That's just final minutes. That's not qualifiers. That's just final.
Pretty tough one, though.
Any feelings, Gav? Darren, sorry.
I've got nothing. I've got nothing on this one. This is too precise for my mind, this one.
I'm going to go with Messi.
Going with Messi. Not Messi, I'm afraid. Yeah. It's not Messi. Sorry, lads. Liam and Max, so far, every opportunity you've dived in, and it's been more fruitful than it hasn't been so far. You know, you've got 2 points, you've lost 1 point. Is this another one you're going to dive into?
Max, do you have any strong feelings? Because I think it might be Peter Shilton, but I'm not confident enough in that.
I was gonna say Miroslav Klose for Germany.
I think you're right there. I think I've heard that now that you've said it.
I've heard something to do like that, but I don't know if it's the most minutes. Do you think it's worth going for?
I think he's played... Is he not the one that's played in the most World Cups?
Yeah, it might be.
I think we have to go for it anyways.
Yeah, we'll go for that. We'll go with Miroslav Klose.
Diving in there, lads, and you're risking a point. And you've lost it, I'm afraid, because the correct answer was Paolo Maldini, who the Italian band over many, many World Cup finals, playing many, many minutes for Italy, and I believe winning a World Cup with Italy as well. I think he was part of that squad. That was like his last little hurrah, or was that before he retired? Yeah. Anyway, lads, we'll move on to what is the last question for Daz and Gaz. On their mission towards World Cup success. You know, it's going pretty well so far, lads. You're winning 5-2. You've got a chance to... That's it. The next round's the Carlo United round, so see how things go there. It's definitely an opportunity.
Free fall. That's how it goes.
But you know, if you end this round strong, you know, you know you're not really got a lot to risk. You're playing for a draw essentially, potentially, in the last round. You'll be fine. But I've said, you know, it's going better than we thought it would. What country was the first to wear names on the back of their shirt at a World Cup?
Wouldn't even know where to start.
That is a tough question. The annoying thing is, as well, over Christmas, there was a World Cup show on. I think you have this answer. The answer to this question, I can't remember it. Which is frustrating. But if I had to guess, I would have to go with, I want to say Germany.
Gonna say Germany. United.
Right, roll the dice, Gav. Roll the dice. Go with it. There's no feeling there whatsoever.
Saying Germany. It's not Germany, I'm afraid, lads. It's not. Liam and Max, you know, is this another one you're gonna dive into? You're gonna risk losing another point?
No clue.
Don't think it's worth risking.
Yeah,
that.
I thought Germany, to be honest, but yeah.
Well, the renegade period stops, and it was England that was the first team.
I thought maybe it would be England, but
it was England that were the first team to wear names on the back of their shirts at a World Cup. Right, it's Max and Liam. It's your opportunity to try and catch up. Basically, it's 5-2 at the moment. Let's see how you guys get on with your World Cup questions. What country has lost the most World Cup finals?
The Netherlands. I know that one.
Yep, go with that.
Yeah.
Not the Netherlands, I'm afraid.
What?
It's not the Netherlands, I'm afraid. The most World Cup
finals. I was so confident with that as well.
Very confident. Gav and Daz, what are we thinking?
Before I think about jumping in, when you say finals, do you mean the actual final?
Like the final, final.
It's got to be someone like, it's got to be France. It's got to be France.
We'll gamble France.
You're gambling with France and risking of losing a point. And you've lost a point, I'm afraid, lads. You've lost a point. Yeah, down to four. It's 4-2. The correct answer, lads, is Germany have lost the most World Cup finals.
Oh, man.
Germany have lost the most World Cup finals. Who is the only player to win three World Cups?
Player.
That's right, player.
Ronaldo, maybe? R9?
Maybe. I thought Pelé, but you might be right.
Oh yeah, it probably is Pelé, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll just say Pelé.
Going with Pelé. Well done, lads. You are correct with Pelé. And things have gone very close now as it's 4-3. We'll move on to the next question. What does that say? What club has produced the most World Cup winners?
Jesus.
That is some question. It's not Carlisle United.
No. My first thought was West Ham, but it's definitely not West Ham.
West Ham?
Well, because they had loads of players in the England squad, didn't they? That's my only thought.
Do you not reckon like Bayern Munich or something?
I thought that, yeah, it might be. I feel like I'm giving too much away. But I also thought like Flamengo, one of the Brazilian clubs.
Santos.
Yeah, River Plate or something like that. But thing is, though, every good player from Germany comes from Bayern Munich. Whereas I think like the Brazilian ones are kind of spread out a little bit. So I'll back you with that one, I think.
Yeah, Bayern Munich.
Stay in Bayern Munich. It's not Bayern Munich, I'm afraid. Sorry about that.
Hard question.
Over to Darren and Gavin. I mean, is it worth gambling on? You got, I must have a really strong feeling if you're going to take it.
I was actually going to say Bayern Munich if it was going to be available, but obviously it's not the right answer. The only other answer that's in my head isn't worth gambling, to be honest.
No feelings from me, Gav. So.
No, nothing to be offered. And so nothing ventured, nothing gained, no points in this round. The correct answer is Juventus. Juventus produced the most World Cup winners. So what country has appeared in the most... Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, technically the most as well. What country has appeared in every World Cup finals?
So it's qualified for every World Cup?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like England have, you know,
England,
they've missed
England
out before.
England have missed out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's between two, but I don't want to say the two because it's given away.
Is it?
I'll forewarn you. I think I know the answer.
I think it might be Spain or France.
No, Spain have missed out. Spain have missed out.
Have they?
Yeah. It's either... He knows the answer, so I'm just going to say it's either Brazil or Germany. Because I
Brazil,
think it, I think
surely.
Italy was one of them clubs, but they missed out recent one.
Yeah.
Brazil,
I think.
The thing is with Germany as well, it didn't always exist, and it was like East Germany and West Germany. I don't know if you'd count. Does that count as Germany qualifying if one of them gets through? I have no clue. Do you want to go with Brazil?
Well, we'll go with Germany after you, because that helps, because then there's like double the chance, isn't there, if there's two Germanys?
No, but I don't know. Does that count for Germany at all?
Yeah, I imagine it does.
I would argue it probably would.
Yeah,
that's one German. That's at least one German team,
but
in everyone.
Yeah, Germany.
Do you want to go? Germany.
And it's not Germany, I'm afraid, lads. It isn't actually Germany. And now we get to see if Darren is confident.
I take Brazil. I take Brazil for 1 point.
He's gone for Brazil. Gavin looks pretty happy with it. So it is Brazil. It is Brazil. Well done.
We should have got that. I feel like that was over
points
40.
On the board. You're almost talked out of it, actually, by Darren.
There was no mind games whatsoever. It is a figment of your imagination.
It's the last opportunity for you to gain a point, Liam and Max, for the Blue Army podcast, and reclaim some kind of pride, I guess. You're trailing by a few points at the moment. Here we go. It's what player scored a record 15 World Cup goals?
That is Miroslav Klose, pretty sure.
Yeah, that's probably the start. I know it.
That's the final answer, yeah. Klose.
Miroslav Klose. It's not, I'm afraid. It's
what?
Not Miroslav. It's not, mate.
Was that like
it's
the not... Euros then or something? That's definitely a start.
Klose did hold the record and it got broke not that long ago.
Oh, right.
No. Okay.
Just, I can't actually remember off the top of my head who broke it.
That's good.
I didn't know it got broke because I used to always start. I remember being like, not annoyed, but kind of like, fair play for breaking the record because it was some feat that. It's just whether or not it was Mbappe that did it or not. That's the only thing, because obviously he scored a hat-trick in the World Cup final. He scored more than one in multiple games as well. It's just whether or not he's been able to do it in two World Cups. I don't think it's worth risking a point, to be honest. Up to you, Darren.
I have no feelings on this one.
we won't risk it because Messi's also just popped in my head. So we won't.
I think it is Messi, isn't it?
It's Ronaldo. It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
It was Ronaldo.
R9.
Ronaldo. Okay. Brazilian Ronaldo. That's right, lads. So it's 5-3 as we go into the final round, which is the Carlisle United round, and we move back to Darren and Gavin. Here we go, lads. It's the last couple of questions for you. Good luck. What was the year that Carlisle United was founded?
Where's my Carlisle United shirt?
that's what I was thinking as well. Is it? The wallet was coming on the podcast ago, so I've been able to look down.
Oh, excuse me.
Liam's just looked down at the shirt he's wearing.
The shirt of the comments. Just whether or not it's one of these clubs that was founded in the 1800s or the early 1900s.
It's definitely early 1900s. I know that much. I couldn't tell you what year.
trying to think of if I've seen about any anniversaries being celebrated recently by them.
It's going to be a toughie.
There's even a scarf behind my head, but I can't see that. I can't see this. Can't see anything.
it's not written on the badge, I can confirm.
No, it's not written on the badge. You just keep looking on the wall.
You already know the answer.
Yeah, it's true. I just wanted to see if it was written on the badge. But yeah, I just see Liam keep looking around his walls to see if there's like...
I know the answer. I know the answer for definitely.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I mean, shot in the dark. You got to take a punt, lads.
What are you thinking? Gav? Anything?
For some reason, I've got like a 3 and 8 in my head. I'm thinking like 1928. To be honest,
1928. It's not. I'm afraid.
I think it's earlier than that.
It might be. Max thinks he's got it though. Let's see what it is, Max.
1904.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, well, I was going from the foundation year.
Wait, stop then. Hang on, because I know that as well.
Go on then.
That wasn't 1904 is when it was founded.
I'll give you the
other date. I think the other date that you've probably got is 1885.
1896. 95. Oh, no, sorry. Oh. 1896.
No, never mind. It is 1904, though. That is.
That's when it was Carlisle United. But the next question.
Yeah, fair enough.
The next question, you know, we'll see how we get on. We'll see how we get on because, no, that's not the next question. But the next question for Darren and Gavin is this one. Oh, no, sorry. Did you guys dive in and get it back.
Yeah, so we lost the point.
You've lost the point. Yeah, you've lost the
point. I mean, that's a bit controversial. I think, like,
I'd like to go on a technicality.
Lost on a technicality.
Ross Stark takes wins anyway. You can get it.
It'll see. Maybe I will get to use my tiebreaker. but we'll move on to the next question. We'll smooth over that one. In what year did Carlisle United temporarily top England's top division?
It's in the 70s.
I know this one.
What year was it?
Say that again, Gav. I didn't hear you.
I want to say like 1973 or 1974. For some reason, I've got a feeling it's the 70s.
I would have said 75. So you're saying 73. So why don't we meet in the middle and just go 74?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Liam's shaking his head because the knowledge just got the right answer. They've just pulled it out the bag and got themselves another point on the board.
Can't believe that, Max.
6-2 it stands now, and there's a potential of a shutout ahead. We'll see how we get on. It's the third question. Carlisle United sold Matt Janssen for a club record fee at the time of £1.5 million, but to which club?
I don't know, but I've still got his signature. I think I've got an old kid's hoodie with his signature on still.
Nice.
I think I know it.
I think I know it as well.
Oh, fuck's sake.
It's like the Wolves are circling.
You know what's annoying about this is I was actually on his Wikipedia page last night because I was watching a video with Rory Delap and his name popped up and I was like, I don't remember Janssen, and then I had a look at his Wikipedia briefly, so I should actually know the answer. But fuck's sake. Because I've heard of Rory Drack and I've heard of the other person that was sold at the same time, but I'd never heard of Matt Janssen, so I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Fuck devs. I don't know.
Do you want to take a guess on?
No, I've got nothing.
Fuck it then, we'll go for someone like Blackburn.
He's pulled it out of the bag. It was Blackburn Rovers. He's got a brain flash. Your brain must have just gone, I don't know, Blackburn. Like, you must have seen it in your peripheral. You know, it's just one of them ones.
I just saw colours.
I thought it was Crystal Palace as well, to be honest.
Oh, did you? No, it was Blackburn Rovers, man. Bloody hell.
I thought that was Joey Garner that went Blackburn.
No, we got him from Blackburn.
No, right, I've just looked at Wikipedia. We sold him to Crystal Palace.
No, we sold him to Blackburn.
No, we didn't.
We need VAR on this. I also thought it was Crystal Palace.
Someone's changed his wiki. Someone's definitely changed his wiki.
He went to Blackburn after Palace.
Oh, is that when he had the motorbike crash? Oh, it doesn't... All right, okay. Controversial again.
Carlisle, Crystal Palace, then Blackburn it was.
No way. That's News and Star, Carlisle United quiz I stole that from as well.
Oh, but...
Limited.
John Coleman.
I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll give them the point, but hopefully we can get it. Back.
I wasn't actually going to give them the point, but okay, Max. Executive decision from the one and only human being on the show. who scored Carlisle's conference final winning goal in 2005?
I think I know this one.
It's somewhere deep in the recesses of Gav's head.
Yeah, I remember watching a match.
last night, after I looked up Matt Janssen.
No. I didn't watch this one last night. I remember watching it. Fuck's sake. Because 05, 06 was when I was actually like kind of interested in Carlisle and was going to games and that. Because you have like Cam Hawley and stuff like that. It's just, I don't think it's a striker that scored the goal. That's the only thing. For some reason, I've got Peter Murphy in my head, but I can't remember if I'm thinking of scoring. But I'm thinking at that time he was an idiot and put his hand in the air and gave him a penalty. I'll go on Peter Murphy.
You happy with that, Darren?
I haven't got a clue, so it's all Gav.
It was Peter Murphy. Well done, lads. You know, you're having a good round. You're having a really good round. Thanks to me and Max. but we'll conclude with the final question for you. For category A was, how many times have Carlisle won the English Football League trophy, or the many variations of said trophy in the club's history?
Got nothing, Gav. I've got nothing.
Pick a number.
You know what? Simple way to just choose any random number. I'm a triplet, so number three. Go for three.
You're going for three. What? It's not three, I'm afraid, mate. It's not three,
Max,
I'm afraid.
I think I know this one.
Liam's sounding confident. We'll hand over.
They went to five finals and won two, I think it is.
Yeah.
It is two, lads. Well done. It's six finals and two victories. but it doesn't matter because you've got that vital point back on the board as we go into the final round of questioning, which is the Blue Army podcast being represented by Liam and Max. At the moment, suffering from an 8-3 deficit. Lads.
We're going to get all of them.
You're pretty much going to get all of them.
You know, no risk, Gav. No risks.
You're pretty much going to get all of them at this point, you know. So here we go, lads, with the first question is, what was the name of the original club before it became Carlisle United?
Shaddongate United.
Very good, yeah. It is Shaddongate United, mate. Come on. Well done. And you're on the board
still on.
In this round. The game is still on. The next question is, what Italian giants did Carlisle beat in 1972?
Roma.
Roma, yeah.
It is Roma, lads. Congratulations. Well done. You're doing really well in this round. I get excited. I get to use my tiebreaker. The next one is, what year did Carlisle last win the English Football League trophy?
Oh, I can work.
2011, okay. I think.
Oh, because we had 2 years in a row, and we lost one of them to Southampton.
Yeah, that so was 2010.
Was that the 20? Because in my head that was the 2011 one, but I think you're maybe right. You know, I think it is 2011.
I don't think we won it in 2012. So
no, 2011. I'll go for then.
2011
is your final answer. And you'd be correct, lads. Well done. And we'll move on to the second to last question. It's who scored Carlisle's winner on that day?
Oh, same answer as theirs.
That was Peter Murphy. Yeah.
It was Peter Murphy. Congratulations, lads. As the tension builds, we're on the final question to tie everything up and get to hear the tiebreaker question. But we've got the last question to go now. It's who has the most appearances for Carlisle United?
I know this.
Yeah, it was one of your guessing the players, wasn't
it? It's he's from like 1970-something. It's the goalkeeper, Alan Ross.
It is Alan Ross. Well done. An absolute blinding round, but we wouldn't have expected anything less from the lads representing the Blue Army podcast. So it's tied up, lads. It's 8-8, so it's time for the tiebreaker question, which is, and I'll let Liam and Max, I'll let you guys go first. We'll be kind to the guests. So what, according to Wikipedia, is the official capacity of Brunton Park? Get closest to it.
Right, I know this.
I think
he's gone off Wikipedia, which isn't right anymore because they changed it recently.
Right.
The official capacity now is 17,999, because if you had 18,000, you had to do some sort of special insurance. But
all right, yeah.
They're going off Wikipedia.
I was going to say 18,000 and like 32 or something, whatever.
Yeah. 18,032, oddly specific.
I think it says that football manager. I think that's why I think that.
Okay, yeah.
I've got an unsettled dog.
That's okay, don't worry. Don't worry, dog, will be done soon.
Yeah, I'll back you with that one there.
What you're locking in, lads? 18,000
and 32.
And 32. Right, Darren.
Have tactical decision. 18,031.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
We're going lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going lower. You're going one lower as the pair of wrestlers that I like to call as a tag team, the Uncle Knobheads. as they basically just pulled this one out the bag, lads. The official capacity, according to Wikipedia, and Liam, you were sniffing around the right things. Wikipedia has been updated recently. It is correct at the moment, though. It is 17,949.
Okay.
That's the ones. The target wrestler has actually won the football quiz.
Yeah. We'll just forget about the Matt Jansen.
Yeah.
Forget about the Matt Jansen incident. Forget about that. Forget about screwing up like the second question so you don't get a chance to like guess it. Like, forget about any of that. We don't do quizzes here often, and when we do them, we tend to botch them. Or at least I do.
Also, I was right with the Arsenal kid as well. It's reason. It's not Harvey Elliott anymore. I still wouldn't have got the point. But...
Well, you know, there we are. It's the end of the podcast now. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure, though. I don't want to end on a downer. It's been an absolute pleasure. Obviously, Darren, Gav, thanks very much for joining us. I really hope you've enjoyed yourself, mates. I really do. And, I mean, Liam, Max, it's a pleasure, like it always, always is. And there isn't really anything else left for us to do apart from saying bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.